Well, on today's episode, we talk about all things on the day of auction, but the seller's edition. One of the ones I love the most because I don't see the seller side enough. So we're going to talk about reserve pricing, about how to deal with an auctioneer, and about finding trust with a real estate agent. Looking forward to it.
Welcome to the Sydney Property Muppets podcast. My name is Kurt Lawther. I'm the real estate agent, and with me forever is...
Chris Clark, the buyer's agent. This is going to be good fun, apart from your pink socks. They're outrageous flamingos.
Got complimented by today. Anyway, Chris,
let's get straight into it. Seller's edition. So we're talking about the day of auction, seller's edition. So for me, one of the key questions is, with a reserve price, how does that get set and how does that become legally binding? Because I imagine you've got to be protective of making sure that you've got the right number and it's not fugazi fugazi. So how does those two things happen?
So to start with, if you're a seller, listen up. The reserve price is set. It is given in writing. Now, each agency has their own different form, but it needs to be in writing. And every time the reserve price is changed, that also needs to be in writing as well.
Documented. Okay, fine.
Everything in real estate is documented. That's why you always have offers asked to be generally in email, because we need to prove that if it goes to court of law, for example. So that's why the reserve price is in writing. Generally, that is a day or two before.
Okay, a day or two before. Okay, interesting.
Now, seller, how you can actually make sure it works for you is you need to have selected the right agent. I'm going off the fact that you've selected the right agent, because if you don't trust the agent, don't know why you're going to auction or using them.
So I'm going to throw a scenario to you.
Yep.
Let's say, you know, the vendor and the agent together probably think the property is worth about 2.5.
Yep.
But you don't know in this market, so they've been guiding 2.2.
Yep.
Because that's a lower end of what would be likely. Should the vendor, who's thinking 2.5 is a good number, should they just be like, yep, let's put down 2.5? Or should they put a bit of gravy on top of it so that, you know, it pushes things up in terms of their own self-interest?
For me, in that very scenario,
very simple scenario,
being guiding 2.2, firstly, it depends on the feedback you've been given.
Through the campaign.
Because a lot of people, even if will ask, oh yeah, the agent will ask the buyers what the price is, and a lot of people will be like, yeah, 2.2 is good. Whether people believe it or not, they're going to say probably 2.2 is good.
Maybe, of course, self-interest.
Maybe 2.3. In that case, if you think it's going to be around that 2.5, our conversation is have the reserve price, but be aware it may need to go up or down.
Yeah, okay. I actually revert back. Really good. Appreciate your answer on that one. And look, there's always more complications, so I'm just trying to give you some softballs here. But in terms of the reserve price, you said it can go up and down. So it's been documented beforehand, the morning of, the day or two before. During the auction, can that number change?
100%, and it happens all the time.
And it can be changed just once?
It can change as many times as you want.
Right, so I'm setting these questions up to you just to enlighten sellers to go, oh, that's something, because I don't think everyone expects. I think people think reserve price set and that's it the whole way through.
Yeah.
Is what I think, you know, you and I don't think. But, and what about, have we got another point?
I was just going to say, so as a purchaser, what you may not realize
is... purchaser side, you're talking my side.
I am actually telling you about your side, just to
get
the understanding is you're there bidding. You see the agent constantly going back into the rooms, if it's in rooms or in the home to check, because the reserve might be a bit too high and they've got to actually be like, look, let's lower that reserve now. Let's get it on the market to get the competitive interest, because you always have someone at auction be like, is it on the market yet?
Now, legally, you don't need to say those words, is it on the market, right? But we do find it's a pretty common, culturally accepted thing. Is that something you got in your business? More often than not, you will, once it hits a reserve price, announce?
We generally announce it once it's like, guys, it is getting sold.
Yeah, so once it's either hit the reserve or it's comfortably above that reserve price. And you just, have you ever had a situation that's happened and then you said it's on the market and then you go back to the vendor and the vendor changes the reserve price to be even higher?
I've never personally had it happen.
Could happen though, right?
My colleague has had it.
Oh, no. Okay. And what about the auctioneer? How much, if you're a seller, you're in the room or you're on the phone, you know, is it very likely they're going to talk to the auctioneer during the auction, the day, or is it more if something goes wrong?
Okay. Sellers.
Not something goes
wrong.
I'm
going to say, firstly, the auctioneer is with the agent, is with you. You're all on one team to get the most amount of money. I did have one vendor be like worried that the auctioneer was going to come down, whack the hammer. That's not the case. The hammer only comes down once the agent has given permission for the auctioneer to do it. And the agent can only do that once he's been given permission by the vendor to do that.
Yeah.
The agent is basically the human, the vendor, but with the skills to get you the result.
And you're, again, you, the seller, listening or watching this, you're in a room, you can hear the auction going, and you'll occasionally hear the auctioneer go, and that's first offer, and second offer. I imagine sometimes sellers would be like, wait a second, I haven't given approval for that. So basically, even though the auctioneer is saying first and second, not because it is first time hearing, second time hearing, but he can't hit the hammer down if he's had instructions.
Correct.
Cool.
Well, technically, I guess you can hit the hammer down, but he's not allowed to.
Words matter. All words matter. Okay. I got some other questions to go into, but do you have anything else to...
So, sellers, sometimes you might have an agent and the auctioneer come to you and be like, guys, I think we need to get it on the market. And I kind of alluded to this before. And you'll be like, do we trust the agent? It depends, one, your relationship, but how close you are. But sometimes they're saying, let's get this on the market because the purchasers are out there, or the prospective purchasers are like, oh, that this mindset is just going to go on for ages and ages, and the reserve price is so much higher.
Unachievable.
And do you know what? You may only get a little bit more. You may also get a lot more.
But what about in that circumstance? Instead of doing that, what about the famous vendors, one-time vendors bid? Could you use that instead of that tactic to go, well, instead of us bringing the reserve price down, let's put a bid out there, maybe not at the reserve, but close to? Or is it just case by case?
Generally, as a vendor, we don't like to use the reserve. The vendor's bid.
Yeah, right.
I think it just...
Your organization does it, because I know there's lots out there that do.
Yeah. We have used it in the past, and that was just to set the tone, to be like, look, vendor, this is where the vendor's bid is.
Yeah.
Now, the vendor's...
Yeah, it's what it's there for.
From my understanding, someone check me, the vendor's bid can't be at the reserve.
I didn't know that.
Now,
we should fact check this later on.
Yeah, fact, I'm having a mind blank. This is...
Oh, cool.
Late,
okay.
But...
This is late, did you just say?
Oh, no, sorry. The vendor's bid might, I think, yeah.
Vendor's bid surely can be at the reserve. Anyway, whatever. We'll fact check
it. Fact check it. Come back next week.
Lastly, just because we're going to get close to the timing and we like to keep these episodes short and sharp. Auction's completed, you know, it's popping champagne because you won, but then in another scenario, not you won, but you know, someone's off at the right level. Another scenario hasn't quite hit that reserve and you got one buyer there. What happens then? Do you as an agent need to do a lot of work talking to the seller before talking to the highest bidder, or is it the other way around?
It all depends. Sometimes an agent might be a bit cheeky.
I like the way you give it. It all depends. Okay, but just tell us the majority of the time, Kurt.
It all depends. So the way we frame it sometimes
can't
up to
believe
the,
you're not single.
The way we sometimes frame it up to the seller, in whether it's a cheeky way or a realistic way, is if there's one purchaser who's actually putting bids forward, is it doesn't quite reach the reserve, is that the vendor's actually bought their property back.
I see what you're saying. Yes, yes.
Okay. In a weird way,
You're kind of going back against yourself.
Yes.
Okay. So in the scenario, the auction closed, there's the highest bidder. I guess my question is, who do you, as an agent, speak with first, like a bulk amount of time? Are you speaking a lot of time initially with the seller? Make sure you know where
it's
at.
Seller would probably be majority of the time.
Post auction, you're going to spend a lot of time with them understanding what they need, or you're going to spend time with the buyer trying to get them up?
The first conversation is with the vendor.
Okay. And what does that look like? Okay. All right. No problem. All right. I think that's everything from, I like this one. Anything else? Any last tips?
Long story short, the auction's there as a seller to get you, it's used as a tool to get you the most amount of money that you can.
Yeah.
And to also show you the reality of where your property is at in the market. It's the most probably open form of...
Yeah, of course.
And transparency, as in you can see the buyers there.
I think it's the... When you're talking to agents about selecting an agent for a campaign, this is the time that you want to make sure you build the one that you think you can have the most trust with, or you believe trusted. Because the rest of the stuff, the sort of process and step, but this is the time you've got to have trust in that it's going in the right direction, or you're heading the right way. All right, got a game for you just after a quick break.
5 minutes later. We're back, Chris, ready for the game.
I'm ready, but you had something to say?
No, I just wanted to clarify regarding...
It's good. We've had a bit of a moment there to research.
Just to double check. So the vendor bid can't be higher than the reserve price, but it can be equal to or lower. Just wanted
to... I did say clarify. Avoid. Surely, but yeah, makes sense. Okay. Three quick cues. We've got the Lions tour on right now. I don't know how much of a rugby union man you are. Oh, I'm hoping you're not.
I'm not really.
Great. Okay. They're perfect. So three.
We win the Bledisloe Cup every year, don't we, the Wallabies?
No, we haven't won that. I think we've won maybe once or twice in my lifetime, maybe. Lucky.
2021 was probably the last. 2001 was probably the last.
Not 21. Okay, so three quick cues on the Wallabies versus Lions tour.
Okay, cool.
So first one is, an Australian player is obviously named after a famous fictional character. Is that name Charlie Weasley, Harry Potter, or Tom Riddle?
Tom Riddle?
Incorrect. Would you believe line? Harry Potter?
No!
Yeah, I know. I only found out today. It's awesome. Okay, when was the first ever Lions tour to come here? Was it, okay, multiple choice.
Okay, cool.
1888?
Yeah.
1908 or 1988? I'll give you a hint. Finishes with an 8.
Yeah, I reckon 1908.
Incorrect.
That's the first one.
1888.
I know.
You usually smoke me at these, so I'm so happy at the moment. Okay, which Lions player touring now, you've only got a guess here, because which Lions player touring now shares the same name with a famous AFL player from the 1990s? Is it?
Not an AFL fan.
Okay, let's just go through it though. Scott Cummings, Jock Conan, or James Lowe?
Oh, it's Jock Conan.
You know what? You're wrong again. Scott Cummings, who's actually my doppelganger.
I try to go so much confidence with that answer. You'd be like, oh, okay, you got it.
But you've never done, I think, less than two.
Mate, that is shocking. I really need to question my...
Thank you all for dropping by. A longer episode. This is definitely a really good one for sellers. So if you know someone who's selling a property or they're currently, they're at the moment just about to go to an auction, like day of auction, please share this episode with them.
Yep.
Anything else on your side?
I've gone blank. I'm so disappointed in my performance in that game.
I wake up in the morning and I piss excellence. That's all I know. Thanks for dropping by.